want to look at Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11 to launch from. Is that okay? At least it's a basis to get started with. It's somewhat of a follow-up to Wednesday night. I know that not everyone was here on Wednesday night. Kind of took a little hiccup on the list, and I shared Wednesday night from God's Word in this area of prayer. It's not really a direct continuation, but it's a continuation of the thought. Matthew chapter 6 is Matthew's record, the way he saw it and the way God directed him to record it. Luke chapter 11 is Luke's record, the way the Holy Spirit had him record it. There's some key differences, or there's one key difference that I want to bring in from Luke's account into the conversation, because I think that it holds a key thought for me, hopefully for all of us. So if you have your Bible open there to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 7. Then I'm going to go over to Luke chapter 11 and read verse 1. Then I'm going to come back to Luke, or to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. So you might not want to just flip over to Luke without holding a finger there in Matthew 9. And if you're on digital, hopefully you can flip back and forth quickly enough. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I could spend a little bit of time there, but I won't, except to say that apparently Jesus is trying to direct his disciples away from prayer being a form of attention getting. It's not the purpose of prayer. You can read a few other verses in there in Matthew chapter 6 to kind of go along with that. But then I want to go over here to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. And if we were to read on down through following verse number 1, we'll see how it corresponds with Matthew chapter 6, because verse number 1 is just simply a verse that's prior to the Lord's Prayer as recorded by Luke. But there's something key in this that I want us to get this morning. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, when he finished his praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. They had observed Jesus. They had heard Jesus in his time of praying, and something was triggered. Something was ignited within the heart of at least this one disciple to go to him and say, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. I've learned a lot of stuff from my dad across the years. He taught me how to do a number of things. One of those things I really don't do anymore. I don't participate in anymore to speak of. Maybe once in a coon's age or a blue moon. However long that is. trout season. The opening day of trout season in Pennsylvania was almost as sacred as the opening day of deer season. It was a big time, and Dad took us trout fishing. As far back as I can remember, we went trout fishing on the opening day of trout season. The creeks would be lined with people. The pond at my Uncle Ted's house was packed with kids, because that's what it was for opening day for kids. It wasn't uncommon for us. Dad would prepare us to go fishing, and we would collect worms, and we would do all sorts of stuff of getting ready to go, and we just loved that point in time. It was a springtime activity. I think it comes in April. Always a wonderful time. Dad ignited something within my heart of a desire for the outdoors, the outdoor fun. Outdoor fun of hunting, going sledding in the wintertime, gardening in the spring and summer, backyard pickup games of various sports. Always, it seemed that Dad was out there helping us to enjoy those things. Dad did his best to teach me how to work with my hands. He tried his best to teach me how to build, how to do drywall, and put in electrical wiring, and plumbing, roofing, changing the oil in the car. Not only have I learned a lot from my dad in those areas, I've learned a lot across the years from other people. As a matter of fact, I still find it in my life to be necessary to continue to learn to do a lot of things. No, I don't need your help to change the oil, but there's a whole lot of stuff in the vehicle that I have to have help with. And I never could figure out why you did what you did when it came to wiring something. I could not figure out. I could not get it sunk into my head, the reasoning behind what there was to do with wiring an outlet or a switch. So now, even now, I have to go back and look at somebody else's work or ask somebody else. Just thick-headed. You know, we've all learned some essential skills from people that we have loved and respected across the years. My dad and my dad's dad, my pap, were probably the first ones in my long list of praying heroes. Pap was a simple prayer. There wasn't any big words in Pap's prayers. At best, he had an eighth grade education. That was pretty weak in reality. It wasn't until after he was saved that he really learned how to read. So his prayers were just simple. He was just a simple person. But I love to listen to Pat pray, because something about the simplicity of his prayers allowed a young boy's heart realize that he was in contact with somebody bigger than anybody else in the room. And my pap was the biggest man, the toughest and strongest man I had ever known. You know what I'm saying. Your pap was probably the same. Now my dad, he prayed differently than pap did. Dad was smooth and fluid and boisterous in his prayers. Pap referred to God as Father. I'd love to hear him say it one more time. He had an unusual way of pronouncing Father. I can still hear him vaguely. He said Father like no other. Dad referred to God as Lord. Now, when he prayed and talked to God and used the word Lord in reference to his Father, his Heavenly Father, he didn't say Lord every sentence. It was key points, it seemed, that Dad was focusing in and using that positive reference point of who God was in his life. We were reading responsively the Sunday school lesson this morning. I couldn't help but notice that every time the word Lord, the name of God, Lord, was written, even in our Sunday school lesson, it's all in capital. You'll find that quite often in the Old Testament. God is capital G, small case O-D, but Lord is capital. Dad prayed to his Lord. Pap and Dad both concluded their prayers the same, in Jesus' name. My dad had a drug problem in his childhood. As did I and my kids. You see, he was drugged to church every time the doors were open. I can't speak necessarily for my dad's upbringing, but I can speak for my upbringing and for the upbringing of my children. We didn't have an option of going to church. It was just a part of life. It was a given. We never really thought about having it come up for discussion or some kind of a debate. It was just simply the church doors were open and we were going to be there. I got sick one time and was surprised that Mom and Dad allowed me to stay home from church all by myself, covered in hives. They told me I needed to sit in an Epsom salt bath during church, not go. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it because it was just simply, no matter what the condition, we went to church. Now, I suppose if we were paying homage to the porcelain throne that we wouldn't have to go to church in those circumstances, but that didn't happen very often. Don't tell me you've never heard it referred like that. We went to Sunday school where we learned Bible trivia, such as the books of the Bible and the names of the disciples and the places of Paul's missionary travels and the Old Testament heroes. And we learned about the Jesus of the Gospels, and we learned about his remarkable miracles, his unfailing love for people, his unfailing love for all walks of life kind of people. We went to Sunday morning service. We went to Sunday evening service. We went to Wednesday nights and every night of revival meeting. We went to youth services, if there were youth services in the church, where we learned to put to practice those things that we learned in Sunday school and Bible trivia games. We went to revival meeting, camp meeting. Those services in church and in camps and revivals were where we heard the saints worship, and we listened to the prayer warriors pray, and we heard the preachers expound God's word, or at least pound God's word. Some of it was exciting and some of it wasn't so much. But our souls were the most important part of our lives. There wasn't anything higher. The unwritten list of priorities spoke it out very clearly, that our eternal destiny was at the top of the page. Not our earthly comforts or our earthly pleasures or our earthly conveniences. It was the condition of our soul, the destiny of our soul, that was at the top of the priorities. Everything else fell below that particular thing. It was in those times of church services that I heard innumerable prayers, and I listened to innumerable, countless prayers. Some of them could take the congregation into the heavenly corridors as they prayed in a worshipful attitude. Theologian D.A. Carson makes the observation that Christians learn to pray by listening to those around them. I find it often in my life, maybe you can nod your head in reference to your life, that so often what we learn or how we learn to pray is just a request-based praying. We have all of these needs, all of these requests. We can spend a long time not only listing them before we go to prayer, but then trying to remember them all in prayer, and we spend more time listing them than we do in praying for them. But our prayer is based on all of these requests. And these long list of requests is boring to most people, especially to the little people. They don't understand this. They don't grasp this. It's probably the most boring part of the service to them. We don't have time to do any other kind of praying because of all of the requests. That's a request-based prayer. Daniel Henderson admitted that, he said, I must admit that I had to unlearn prayer. That's maybe difficult to understand. But if that's all that he ever did was request-based praying, then he really had not learned how or the basis or the benefit of true prayer in what we would find and could call worship-based prayer. And if you're dissatisfied with your spiritual, your personal devotional praying, then maybe it's because your praying is in the rut of request-based praying and not a worship-based praying. Henderson said the rut occurs when we allow requests to serve as the foundation of our praying, focusing on our problems rather than actually engaging with God in a multifaceted biblical prayer experience. He said worship-based prayer seeks the face of God before the hand of God. God's face is the essence of who He is. God's hand is the blessing of what He does. God's face represents His person and presence. God's hand expresses His provision for needs in our lives. He said, I have learned that if all we ever do is seek God's hand, we may miss His face. Did you catch that? I think that's a startling statement in reference to what he grew up understanding to be prayer, and what perhaps we may also have a little bit of trouble understanding what prayer is also because of that same request-based prayer. And if we are so caught up, I have learned that if all we ever do is seek God's hand, asking Him to provide and to bless and to meet needs, then we just might be missing who He is. Henderson went on to say, but if we seek His face, He will be glad to open His hand and satisfy the deepest desires of our hearts. But I have to go back to that statement that stands out to me. When we miss His face, we are missing out on who He really is. When I read the story of Abraham or of Moses, where God came to speak to them face to face, where Joshua had an encounter with a divine being, the captain of the Lord's host, and hearing about these, reading about these incidences of the past and people who had encounters face to face, I long for that kind of an experience over and over again. It's not that God has changed. God wants us to seek His face. And if we're missing His face and we're missing who He really is, we are missing His glory. We are missing His majesty. We are missing His power. We are missing His awe-inspiring attributes. Do you ever get awed at His attributes? If you don't know what His attributes are, we may look at them in the future. I'm not sure how far or where we're going with all of this. But you can Google it. Google God's attributes. All that information is right there at our fingertips nowadays. Don't use Google for all kinds of other stuff without using it for good stuff. Google God's attributes. Write them down. Put them on your refrigerator with a magnet or super glue. If we are not finding His face, if we are not seeking His face, then we are missing His desire to visit us face to face. Now, someone may ask the question, what is worship-based prayer? Before we can get into that, though, I think that we need to understand what it is not. Henderson gives us a lot of answers, and I'm only going to give you a portion of what he had to say about it. I think that it stands out as important in our life in praying, though. Because we can get lost in this thing of worship-based prayer versus request-based prayer. What is it not, first of all? Well, it is not a new method of prayer. It's not something that is just newly discovered. It's really the way Jesus taught His disciples to pray. He said, when you pray, pray this way. And it was worship-based prayer. Worship-based prayer is not only, or is not just worship-only praying. No, it's not. There is a balance to worship-based prayer because God, our Heavenly Father, commands, He compels us. He compels us to call on Him and He promises to answer. Our requests are vital importance to Him. It's really not complicated either. Peter Lord is quoted as saying that most Christians pray out of crisis. Guilty. That most Christians pray from a grocery list. The psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 8. He said it this way, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek. You see, the psalmist was hearing God say, search for me, seek for my face. Come looking for the face-to-face encounter. And his heart responded, Lord, your face will I seek. From our text this morning, the disciples undoubtedly recognized the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. I think that we can understand that from what we have read, especially in the portion that is found in Luke chapter 11. The relationship that Jesus had with his Father while he walked this earth consisted of the venue of prayer. I believe, if my memory is correct, that there was only one time that Jesus was in the presence of divine or of heavenly beings where he was transfigured before his disciples, those that were present. Other than that, every day of his life on the earth, he was in communion with God, or he was in relationship with his heavenly Father through the avenue or the venue of prayer. They saw, his disciples saw him pray many times. They knew that Jesus got alone. He went aside and apart to pray many times. I can't help but think that they also heard him pray often as well. Matthew records in chapter 6 the admonition of Jesus about prayer. Luke records in chapter 11 that the disciples had observed him praying. And that observation, there was something special about what they had observed at that particular point that culminated in a question, a seeking, a desire from God, from Jesus, to teach them to pray. And so he provided a pattern. He gave to them a pattern to follow. Ladies that do some sewing, you know what a pattern is. Ladies or men that do some cooking or some baking, you know what a recipe is. If you've ever done any public speaking, you know what an outline is. If you've done some building, perhaps you know what a blueprint is. Or if you've done some minute or some special wiring, you know what a schematic is. You can look at it from wherever you are in your life, but Jesus provided that for us in prayer. When he said, pray this way. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. I'm not going to get into it this morning because the clock has already ticked off enough minutes here. It's already gone so far that I can't get through the entire pattern. Why don't you go home and read it, and perhaps next Sunday we'll look at it again. A pattern for worship-based prayer, where we seek God's face and we lift our burdens to him after we come to him in reverence and respond to his reverence or his position of awe and respect. Lord, teach us to pray. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? That you can have a face-to-face encounter with God, our Creator. Let's stand together this morning. When we worship in prayer, we are in essence saying, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Let's seek his face. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Lord bless you on this Lord's Day. Let's come back tonight expecting to hear from heaven again as well as we gather for the evening service. Praise God. Caleb, would you dismiss us this morning?